souls lurk in the heart of men. The Shadow knows.
The Shadow, a serious character who furthers the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. The Shadow uses his hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the unseen voice of the Shadow belongs. Today's story, Mansion of Madness.
Hello in there. Hello! Is anybody home?
I didn't expect there would be, did you, Lamont?
We didn't think we saw a light as we came up the road, Martha.
And so then, what in the world is a medieval castle doing in this country, Lamont?
Oh, you know how castles get around. Now, I guess it's useless, Mother. No one seems to...
Well, at last, come on, Mother.
Well, how do you do?
You will please come this way.
Thank you. Come on, Mother.
Mom.
I hope you'll pardon our intruding on you here. We saw down the road.
You will please be seated.
As I started to say, we were saw down the road.
I will strike a light.
Thank you.
Our car was stopped.
Now I will call the master.
Thank you. Margot. Would you be interested in hearing how we were stalled out?
You will please be seated.
Nice, pleasant little man, wasn't he?
Did you see his face?
I saw half of it. That's all he has. One side is as flat as a coin. No eye, no ear.
Yes, I saw it plainly enough, man. Look at this room. There's only a tower of flambeau on the wall. Everything seems so musty. Oh, Lamont, let's get out of here, can we? I don't like this.
Let's check him, Uncle. Come on, come on. Miss Margot.
Good evening. My man tells me you've had trouble with your car.
Yes, we sat in the mud up the road a bit. I noticed it's an awfully late hour.
Oh, no apologies, please. It isn't often that visitors come to Bellhausen, even by accident. Permit me to introduce myself. I am Charles Mothersol, uncle of Millicent Templeton, present mistress of Bellhausen Castle. On her behalf and on my own, I welcome you.
Thank you. Montessor, Miss Margot Lane.
Come, Miss Lane.
How do you do? Mr. Cranston, Mr. Montessor.
How do you do, sir?
Delighted, Mr. Cranston. I ask him what way I can serve you.
I'd like very much to use your telephone. I want to call a garage.
Telephone? We have no such thing here.
No telephone?
Nothing new has been put into this castle since it was built in 1640, nearly 300 years ago.
300 years ago?
That's correct. Bellhausen was built by Sir Austin Templeton in the early 16th century. Would you step over here a moment, please?
Yes. Yes. Come on, Margot.
This is a portrait of Sir Austin.
Hmm. Interesting looking character.
He was forced to flee his native land because of political differences. He built his castle in the hope that he could create in this new land a replica of his ancestral estate.
And did he find happiness?
Come here to this window. Do you see that tower? A bit difficult, surrounded by mist as it is.
I don't quite... Oh, yes, I see.
Sir Austin was found hanging by a rope from his masters. Suicide.
Oh, how?
There's a superstition that has clung to Bellhausen ever since.
A superstition? About Sir Austin's death?
There are those who claim that the tragedies of Bellhausen recur just as they happened originally, right down to the present day.
What was that?
Now, pay no attention to Mr. Cranston. Don't be frightened, Miss Lane.
It's a girl. What's wrong with her?
Millicent! Go back to your apartment, child.
Millicent.
The mistress of Bellhausen.
It's terrible. It's not in my imagination this time. It started in her dressing room. It moved across the east balcony and down the service stairs.
No, there's not been a cat in Bellhausen since your mother passed on.
Only that one, Uncle. That one.
Now, Millicent, have you ever seen a cat here?
No. But it was weird. Wailing just to the city when I found poor mother.
Oh, come, my dear. You're fighting our guest. Oh. Lane, Mr. Duncan, permit me to present Miss Millicent Castleford.
Miss Castleford.
My dear, we're intruding horribly. Look, I hope you won't think me over.
Oh, not at all, Miss Millicent.
Miss Lane and Mr. Cranston have had a bit of an accident.
They came here for help.
An accident? Oh, my dear, you're nothing.
Nothing serious, Miss Millicent. Our car is stuck in the mud. We were unable to go any further.
Then by all means, you must be here for me.
It's very kind of you, Miss Millicent, but I think we'll push on to the nearest village.
I'm afraid that's not feasible. The nearest house is 10 miles away, well beyond the moor.
10 miles?
You couldn't expect me, Storm. I see only one way out. You must permit us to offer the hospitality of Dalhousie.
Why, that's very kind of you, but I think...
You're most welcome. I'll have my man prepare rooms for you. And it's very late, Millicent. You must be off to bed.
Yes, I'm not afraid now that I know there are others in the castle. Good night, Mr. Storm. Good night, Mr. Thompson.
Good night, Miss Millicent.
Good night.
I believe I owe you both an explanation. You see, the child had a frightful shock several years ago.
Shock?
Yes. Her mother was paralyzed during the latter years of her life. And being quite excessive, she lived here alone, unattended. Millicent was at school in Europe. For many months, Millicent received no answer to her letters. So she came back to Dalhousie and found her mother's skeleton in this room.
Oh.
Seated in a wheelchair, her only companion beside her, a cat.
Well, that explains the captain.
Oh, it explains many things, Mr. Cranston. The voices she hears, the departed chants of her two, and her distorted imagination return to Dalhousie.
Oh, the poor girl.
Oh, I'm sure this all must be very kind to you both. I'll hurry Sibu along with your rooms. Make yourselves comfortable. I'll be back directly.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, Margot, not a pretty situation, is it?
Definitely not. What can you do?
I'm not sure, Margot, but I'd like to stay. In fact, I must stay.
Why?
Well, Margot, it seems that many invisibles walk the halls of Dalhousie. Tonight, there will be one other. The Shadow.
Don't be afraid, Miss Millicent. I mean no harm.
What do you want?
To help you, if help is possible. I'm afraid.
I don't recognize your voice. You say you're a friend. What's your name?
I have no name, really. I'm called the Shadow.
I don't understand. Are you one of the visions?
No, not one of the visions. Please let me explain. I'm a living, breathing mortal just like you. But I possess a hypnotic power through which I can create a mental mist that makes me invisible.
Then you're not one of them.
Then?
The fantasy. You're not so, not old Barton.
There's nothing supernatural about these persons. These castles you speak of, they're dead.
Oh, yes, but they come back. They come back to Dalhousie with every change of the moon.
With every change of the moon? Have you seen them?
I've seen old Barton. That city was the nicest Hindu servant through the night of his present
A Hindu servant, then, did you say?
Why?
Nothing. Tell me about old Barton. Who was he?
He was my grandson. The last mayor in Council Sublime.
You say he was killed?
Yes. It happened on the main station. Old Barton had just come from a hunt on the moor to take my hound.
Now, tell me exactly what it is you've seen.
It's murder. Just as it happened 18 years ago. First I... I hear his hound howling out there on the moor. Then I hear his footsteps coming up here. Climb slowly to the first landing. Then he stops short. His hand goes to his throat. He makes a gurgling sound and turns and topples down the stairs.
Has anyone else seen this? Anybody but yourself?
No. And nobody believes me either. I don't suppose you do.
I believe you're sincere, Miss Millicent.
Everybody humored me like I was mad. Sibu was rude enough to smile when I told him about the vulture.
Vulture?
Oh, of course. You don't know about that. It perches in a tree just outside that window. It comes when old Barton does. Nothing I do will drive him away. It just sits there. With hollow eyes staring at me and making horrible sounds.
You're positive you see all this, Miss Millicent? I mean, there could be no mistake.
There you see, you tell me off. You said you wanted to help me. How do you think it can?
I don't know. I hope there might be a way, but frankly, I'm bewildered. I just don't know.
please explain to me why we've been called to court?
I've told you, Margaret. Mr. Montefiore has asked us to testify to what we saw and heard that night at Bellhausen Castle.
But why have we been waiting here all this time? Why can't we just go in and tell what we saw and get out of here?
Because the court isn't in session. That's it, that recess.
Recess? Oh, ridiculous. Schoolboy stuff. I'll bet you that if women were running these places, things would happen a lot faster than they do now.
Now, wait a minute. I seem to recall a few shopping trips with you, my dear.
Oh, well, that's different. And the people that hang around here. Look at them. Pure criminal types, every one of them.
Who, for instance?
Well, that man who just came out of that room, for instance.
That man there?
Yes.
So, that's the judge.
Oh.
The court is reconvening at one time.
You have heard the testimony of Margot Lane and Lamont Franson. Two unimpeachable
victims. Lamont, this is horrible. We've been summoned to this courtroom to help send that poor girl to an institution.
We couldn't help ourselves, Margot. We had to tell what we saw and heard about Houghton that night.
Oh, poor Millicent. She looks so alone.
It is quite obvious that defendant Millicent Chancellford is of unsound mind. Evidence proves that beyond a question of doubt. My client, Aldous Montresor, has exercised extreme patience in caring for this unfortunate girl. Now he feels that for her own good, she should be placed in an institution where she can receive proper professional attention.
Let's not call it an infernal lie. Do it to the principal if anyone is
in the courtroom.
I answer the car. Oh,
Roger, my darling. Silence.
Young man, what is the meaning of this outburst?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, but I just couldn't figure out all these lies any longer.
If court, please.
Just a moment, Counselor. Young man, come up here.
Yes.
Now, what is your connection with the defendant in this fancy form?
Well, she's the girl I love. She's the girl I hope to marry. Until her uncle, Mr. Martisol, shut her away from me.
Your Honor, this boy is simply a disgruntled, rejected suitor. I demand
it. Rejected by whom? By Millicent? All right, I'll show you how much of a rejected suitor I am. Millicent, tell him you love me.
I do, Abby. I love you with all my heart.
There. Now, you see, Judge?
Your Honor, I object to this display.
Judge, let me take Millicent away. Let me marry her and give her the protection and affection she deserves.
Young man, I wish the problem before the court could be settled that easily.
It pleases the court. I would like to proceed with argument on a motion to put this girl in an institution.
It pleases the court to recess 10 minutes. That we can resume in a more sedate atmosphere.
Everyone will stand up as the rest of the novel.
Margot, I have an idea. And I think it can be executed by the shadow.
That's good. Shadow, whoever you are. This is an impossible thing to ask. I'd like to do it for you. The Lord knows you've done enough for law and order. If I've got to hand down a decision, time the girl's commitment papers today.
Give me 2 days, Harry, Your Honor. Just 2 days postponement.
But I just can't grant postponement on nothing.
Your Honor, you've got to give me some time to accomplish my job.
Well,
please, Your Honor.
Tell you what I'll do.
Yes?
I'm probably a sentimental old fool, but I'll give you 24 hours. Well, not back, but something definite in that time, I'll have to commit the girl.
24 hours?
That's all.
Well, it'll be sufficient. There's a change in the moon tonight.
Change in the moon? What in blazes has that to do with the case?
Maybe nothing, Your Honor. Maybe everything.
Funny, Miss Lane, the way things change in just a few hours. Today, when Minister Cranston was testified, I was sure I could go on hating you both for the rest of my life.
We were in a bad spot, Robert.
Oh, well, but I can see now just how Montesol made use of your visit to Bellhausen. What is the sort of a break he was looking for? Two prominent people like you to bear out his contention that Millicent was mad.
I saw that, Montesol. He'd make a nice trophy for a honeymoon.
I think you're conscious of it.
Oh, we're getting here at Bellhausen. Don't you think we'd better go over what we're expected to do, Mr. Cranston?
There's not much to it, Robert. You and Miss Lane will wait in the car. I'll get into the castle somehow. And I'll open the side door under Millicent's apartment for you and Miss Lane. But we'll move quickly before Montesol notices us.
Sounds simple the way you talk. How are you ever going to do it?
I'll let you in on a little secret, Robin. I'll do it all with Millicent.
I haven't even managed to get in here without Uncle
Cranston. Don't give me the credit, Millicent. Mr. Cranston did it. I don't know how, but he turned the trick.
Well, Mr. Cranston, the important thing is you and Miss Lane are here. And you've got my gun. Darling,
I don't know what to tell you, but...
Jack! Jack! It's here. It's starting again.
No, don't be frightened, darling. You won't stay for the long tonight.
There's a change in the moon. We're all busy. You know, darkness is coming across the moor to his house. Yeah, he's right here in the castle.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Your mother's coming back to be
starting
to
cry.
Look, look.
What is it, Robert?
Down the tree, outside the window.
It's the vulture. Vulture!
He's right close to the window. He's almost within reach.
Robert, let me have that letter open. Here on the desk.
All right, I'll get it.
What are you going to do, Lamont?
I'm going to try my hand at the gentle art of knife throwing.
Here you are. What you ought to do. Drop and head.
Yeah, fine, Robert.
All right.
There. Step back, Margo.
Come over here, Madison.
All right, Mr. Preston, let her go. A bullseye. You stuck it right in his breast.
Yeah. Until he sits and talks. Interesting. Very interesting.
I couldn't say it. This one's just bigger than there's nothing you can do. The old white squirrel bark and fish. Close the window, Robert. Get him out.
No, wait. I hear something out in the moor. Can you hear that?
It's a drone. It's moving across the moor. Those buttons with him. He'll be here in a minute.
They're coming this way.
Oh, Robert.
It's all right. It's all right.
I don't think anyone could live in a place like this and still hold on to their sanity.
Others have reasoned that way, Margot.
You mean Marshall, I suppose.
I don't exclude him. Yes?
I think I heard somebody moving about downstairs.
Yes? Margot. Put out that symbol. I'm going out in the hall. I don't want the light to stream through.
All right.
Now, quiet. While I open the door.
Wait a minute, Mr. Crash. Now I'm going to...
All right, Robert. Open up.
Be careful, Robert.
Easy, boy. Step through, Robert.
Is that?
Now, close it. Follow me. Robert.
Yes?
Drop down behind the balustrade. You can see the stairs coming back.
Mr. Crest.
Yes?
Look, put something around that car.
That's our man. Now watch it.
Oh, what?
Maybe.
Maybe.
No. Keep hiding.
There's a light.
You ready to run, Robert?
But what are we going
to
do?
Head him off before he can get to that big flat stone at the bottom of the stairs.
Look, he stopped on the landing.
Ready now?
That's what he's going to describe it. Old Barton chokes and then he falls down the stairs.
Come on, Robert. Stop! There we are! Come, I say!
Look out, Mr. Crash! Grab it!
I got him! No use, mister! You're on your hook! Out of the way, Robert!
Come here, Bill!
Yeah. You've got enough, Mr. Gosher!
Come on, no, eh? You got him, sir. You nailed him right in the butt.
Grab
him! Oh, no, it's all right. Don't worry.
That was Mr. Crash. Who is he, Lamont?
I don't know, Mother. We'll see. Take a knife, Robert. I'll turn him over.
Sure. Why, you should have seen that spot, Mr. Crash, then, again.
All right, now, we'll see who
the half-faced man!
Eagle. Robert.
Take the present?
Take Millicent to her apartment. Margot, you come with me.
Oh, I never saw this job.
Come on, Margot.
Oh, what's next?
I want to look at that boat. Please, right outside this door. All right, Margot. After you.
Thank you.
Well, there's our charming feathered friend.
Still cursed and still imperturbable. And still possessed of that confounded voice.
Margot, take a look at this.
What is it? A wire?
Yes. And if I'm not mistaken, it's... Well, let's give it a yank and see one.
My, what a long tail he has. Long copper and properly insulated.
Come on, just a minute, Margot. Yeah. There we are, Margot. With the vulture's in him. Heart, soul, and mind are all encased in this little device.
It's like a radio loudspeaker.
That's exactly what it is.
I had no idea a vulture was such a deceitful creature.
Margot, you take the car, drive to the bridge, and phone the police. Don't let them know who you are, but tell them to get out here right away.
What are you going
to
do?
I'm going to follow this wire. It'll probably lead to one of those abandoned guardhouses at the end of the moor. Tell the police to watch for a flashlight signal, and rush to the location and hold anybody they may find there. The Shadow is going to find a human vulture at the other end of this line.
The buzzer once more. Long at a time. The sea blue signal to take it down and bring it in.
Okay, Marta. Here goes.
Fine. We can disconnect the microphone now.
Don't you want me to do the hounds again?
Yes, yeah, at the horse. I just sounded as if they're coming back across the moor. Go ahead, the figures of them. What was that? Did you do that, Stevenson?
No. Keep them over there by the door of the hut.
That laugh is not in Stevenson's repertoire of impersonation, not a soul.
Stevenson. What in thunder is this?
You see anybody?
I'll answer for him, Montresor. He can't see me any more than you can.
Well, who are you?
I am the Shadow.
Shadow? Oh, yes, I've heard of you.
Quite an elaborate array of incentive-producing machinery you have here.
What do you mean? This is a simple portable broadcasting outfit. We're radio amateurs, that's all.
Yeah, sure, that's all.
Amateurs at radio, but professionals at crime.
I'm afraid you're making a mistake.
You're the one who's made the mistake, Montresor. You made the mistake of thinking you could drive Millicent Chancellor mad. Or at least make a believer so mad.
This is ridiculous. I don't know what you're talking about.
Your denials don't interest me, Montresor. I'm only concerned with destroying your plan. Your control over Millicent Chancellor and a fortune is at an end.
What's that?
A couple automobiles coming along East Drive.
The police, Montresor, coming for you and your assassinating confederate.
The police? Come on, take the number. Come on. Let's...
Run, Montresor, run to your doom.
Yeah, the old castle looks a lot different than it did the first time we came here, eh, Margot?
Hmm?
So glad those kids are getting married. She looks very lovely in that wedding gown, doesn't she?
Hmm.
Say, are you listening to me?
Yes. Yes, I was just thinking.
What about?
What would happen if you were ever married?
Now, Margot.
Well, don't be alarmed, Lamont. This is pure supposition. I was just thinking, if you walk up the aisle just as Robert is now.
Yeah?
Ready to take the sacred vows that would endure for the rest of your life.
Yes, Margot.
And all of a sudden, somebody would shoot the best man, the minister would fall down poisoned, and the bridesmaid would be stabbed, and you'd be off again on another case that would bust up the whole darn thing.
Today's program is based on a story copyrighted by the Shadow Magazine. All the characters and all the places named are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. The Shadow Magazine is on sale at your local newsstand.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow goes.